Sometimes life feels out of our control. We get stuck in trauma, old patterns, and change feels out of reach. Sometimes it feels like fate. We want to help you break out of old, unhelpful patterns and become healthier. We're Fate Resilience, taking control of the outcome.
With licensed therapists, Jennifer Oxford,
Taylor Madsen,
Haley Mayer.
So today we're going to continue talking about self-compassion. As Jen mentioned last time. I know how time works.
You know what I'm going to say next episode, don't you, Taylor? Yeah.
So we've covered the last three episodes, kind of more inward self-compassion. And interestingly, self-compassion has an outward component. Today, we're going to be talking about the caring force, which for me, I kind of always picture Care Bears whenever I hear that.
Not wrong.
Yeah, like just all of them lined up and, you know, like a rainbow shooting out of their tummies. The caring force is when we're kind to ourselves, it's naturally going to spill out into the world. And I want to make sure, we all want to make sure that we're distinguishing between like a rescuer, caretaker kind of drama triangle and being genuinely compassionate to someone else in a way that's not drama triangle. We see a lot of people in therapy that are rescuing those around them because they're worried that someone else will feel the way that they do about themselves. And so they're trying to not make them feel that way. Or alternatively, or in conjunction, that if I make everyone around me feel good, maybe I'll feel good about me too.
I would add too that as a mom, I think there's an aspect of parenting that you do a caring force for your children at first when they're young. Like you have to set some boundaries and say no to things like you can't stay up all night and no, you cannot spend 47 hours playing a violent video game, you know, things like that. So we forget that that's different. What we're trying to do as parents is model this self-compassion, this protecting force, this caring force, that's not the same thing as rescuing. So if you're still doing that when children are able to make that decision, or you're trying to keep them from understanding what it's like to make those mistakes, that's the rescuing we want to avoid versus the caring force of I'm trying to teach and model that. It's very difficult sometimes for people who are used to rescuing to know the difference. And I love that you mentioned Taylor bringing it to therapy, because I have some clients who are healing from being those protective people and having to say, okay, how do I set a boundary for myself without feeling like I have to do it for everyone else around me?
Well, because those people usually see it as help means help, and it doesn't really matter what that help looks like. They're just looking for, like what you're saying, like people often like misconstrue that, because in that moment, they're just like, I'm just helping. But they don't realize that the energy behind the helping and how we instigate the helping, all these different things, like there are choices when we're helping. It does not have to just be meet the need quickly and get over it kind of a thing. Also, it comes a lot from our personal drive, like what you guys are talking about with the self-compassion. A personal drive of helping from a self-compassion drive looks very different than a drive coming from a rescue type of situation, right?
How many times have we worked with children or adult children? Formerly children are now adults. That came out weird. That are working through their past of having a parent or parents that would help everyone in the neighborhood, everyone in the community, but was never engaged or present at home. Like, mm-hmm. I think that would be a good example of a rescuer or, you know, a caretaker, but someone that didn't have that caring for someone that was self-compassionate. Because someone that is self-compassionate will be engaged with their family and will have appropriate boundaries, I think.
Yep. So,
I wasn't sure. So as far as this idea of caring force, this is about how we show up in the world. So we talked about fierce self-compassion or external view, right? This is our Care Bears, and this is the sunbeam we're sending into the world. So it's about how we're showing up in the world. So it's different if I'm just at home saying, oh my gosh, it's so hard. I can't stand being around this person. And so I'm just going to be really kind to myself and tell myself it's really difficult versus saying, okay, I am tired of spending all my energy putting up with somebody that's not healthy for me. So I've got to figure out how to create some boundaries here and say, I might actually give myself permission not to go to that event, or to say, you know what, I don't have time to spend 4 hours on the phone with you, so I'm not going to answer that phone call. Just saying, if you have anyone who does.
I forget who said this quote, but no is a loving word. I think it's something that's difficult for people to learn.
And if you say it, like if you say it, loving is also sometimes a caring force. It's this ability to say, I'm protecting something. I always, one of the things I loved when I worked in the retreat setting, I worked with adult women who were survivors of childhood sexual abuse. We did a lot of group work at those retreats in the short time, but one of the things we end with was the yin and yang of self-compassion, which is when you say no to something, you're saying yes to something else, right? And so by saying no, I'm actually giving myself more time and energy to then work on the things that are actually important to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your day definitely has a time and energy budget.
And sometimes that means, you know, I love that you said time and energy. Sometimes it means I'm not going to engage with people, activities, signing up for an extra class party idea because I have so many other places my energy might be needed. And it's okay to store my energy versus account for every second of the day.
I don't know if we've talked on the podcast about the spoon theory. It's about people with chronic or debilitating illnesses, like cancer would fit under the spoon theory, although hopefully it's not a chronic thing. And so you only have so many spoons in a day to spend. And so showering might take up so many spoons. And now that you've showered, you don't have enough spoons to go grocery shopping. And so it's this balance of saying no to something means you get to say yes to something else. And so it was developed because this person in college had a chronic illness and her friends didn't understand why she didn't go out clubbing with them. And so they were at a restaurant and she's like, okay, everyone give me your spoons. And she's like, okay, you have this many spoons to spend in a day. What would you like to do? It's like, well, I get up at this time to do my hair and makeup. She's like, okay, it takes this many spoons. Okay, and you still have class and it takes this many spoons. Like, well, now I don't have any spoons left. Like, yep, exactly. You don't get to do anything else for the rest of the day.
Gotcha.
So really good question. Spoon theory sounds super weird. Like,
that's not a monetary thing in this country.
Yeah, and
I did see that on the Big Bang Theory episode. I don't know what you're talking
about. Yeah. I know, right?
And so there's also the idea that everyone has 24 hours and everyone's 24 hours are different. You know, if you have a personal chef or you're able to, you know, afford to eat out and eat out healthily, then you have more time than if you have to cook every meal. If you have a long commute, you have less time in your day. If you work for home, for example, like Jen, you've mentioned you work for home. That's awesome. Your husband is right there. If you have a longer commute, like, you know, Haley, you have a longer commute, then that adds up. And so there's a really common saying that we all have the same 24 hours, but our 24 hours are spent differently. And so what do we do with this caring force? What do we say no to so we can say yes to something else?
Mm-hmm. One of the things I've had to learn in the last couple months, we brought kids into our home that we're going to be adopting. I've had to learn not to overschedule myself. Things that used to be like I could do 5 things after work and I could schedule my night and it could be, you know, and I'm like, oh, if I end up out till 9 or 10, it's not a big deal. I've learned now that I have to take a completely different perspective. Scheduling more than one thing in an evening.
Not everyone's on cocaine.
Yeah. Usually it doesn't work for us. Like, in fact, we tried the other day to schedule 2 things in an evening and it was like, do you feel like, gosh, you just ran a marathon? And even though it was completely different, my time, my energy just looks different. And so that permission, that caring force of how I'm going to take action, including going to bed earlier, is one of those things I've had to do with my caring force. I have to go to bed closer to 10:30 than midnight. It's really weird. or I have to give myself permission to say, you know what, I'm going to sit down right now instead of clean everything in the house so that I can just check in with the kids. How you use your time is different. And it's about what you want to create and protect. And I didn't have to create and protect my time quite the same way before I had kids.
In the larger world, what I like, I've seen people do with the caring force of self-compassion is they've taken kids from warring communities and taken them to camp. And as the kids have learned self-compassion for themselves and empathy, they've learned that kids from the other side of the conflict are also just kids. They're trying to disrupt the conflict by raising a new generation to not hate the other and not other them and realize that, hey, they're just like me.
I think that's such an important part when we look at how do we help, instead of rescuing or caretaking everyone else. Part of the power in being this caring force is saying, I care enough about myself to set boundaries and accept boundaries for myself. It actually gives permission for the people around me to set boundaries. So if my friends are like, you know what, that doesn't work for me because I've just got a lot going on in my life, I don't go, oh, if they're just going to stay home and watch TV and that means they don't love me, or I don't go into this drama triangle of what that means. I just trust that if you're caring for yourself and I can care for myself and we can both do that without offending each other, then it'll be okay. Mm-hmm. And that can move into areas of religion, right? If you care for yourself in one way and I care for myself in one way, it's okay that it's different. It can move into areas of politics. We may believe different things, but because I believe it's okay to take care of yourself, hopefully in a way that protects yourself and other people is my hope, but it doesn't always work out that way, that I can understand that that's part of being human. Instead of seeing everything as you must hate someone, or you must not understand, or you must be an idiot because you don't believe or think or act the way I do.
Which is something that we see a lot. And it's, you know, gotten worse over the last several years. There was someone arrested here in Utah, where Haley and I live. Was it back in 2019?
It was fairly recent.
Yeah, in the last few years. He had made almost 4,000 death threats by phone to Congress, to different members of Congress from the other side of his political beliefs. And I can't remember how many via letter and email for the life of me. And I just read this yesterday.
I'm sure it's an obnoxious number.
Downing amount.
Right. And the interesting thing about this gentleman is when you think about someone making an obscene, right? An obscene number would be one, right? The number of death threats I've made in my life is zero, which is how many you should make in your life. And we don't should a lot as therapists, but I feel comfortable saying should in this regard. And so almost 4,000, 3,900 and was it 76 or something? So almost 4,000. And he considered himself a very devout religious Christian person, would often go and feed homeless people in this community. And at a sentencing, he broke down listening to the recordings that he had made. And I was like, this isn't who I am. And we can get into the philosophy if we want about, well, how many death threats do you make? Is this maybe a part of who you are? And should we take a look at that? But he was shocked to learn that the people he was making death threats against were parents and grandparents. And he's a parent and a grandparent. And learning that they shared something in common was just shocking to him. And that he maybe wouldn't have made those death threats if he had learned they had something in common.
I think it's so powerful to realize that by seeing yourself as a human being, it helps you see other people as human beings.
Yeah. When we only see how we're different, we tend not to see another person as a person.
And that can lead to some of the most horrific things in life. That dehumanizing of people.
Yeah, and Myanmar, Buddhists have been committing genocide against Muslims. We have, you know, what Israel's doing to Palestine right now. I'm trying to remember the other genocides going on right now, which is a little worrisome that can't remember all of them. Yeah, and there's more than one, that there are any. And so if we are able to be more compassionate, empathetic as people and put ourselves in other people's shoes, the world will be a better place.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting too, as you look at that, right? There, some people may think, oh, maybe he was trying to protect a way of life. Again, a boundary is controlling yourself. A boundary is not controlling other people. So you can't say, I'm a caring force by forcing you all to think and believe and care exactly the way I do. That's called many things, but that would be a form of rescuing. It's not about choosing this for everyone else. It's about saying, for myself, this is how I want to show up. For myself, this is how I'm going to look at life, right? And giving other people the respect to say, whether our 24 hours look the same or not, that Taylor gets to decide what his looks like, and Haley gets to decide what hers looks like, and our spouses get to decide what theirs looks like.
No, they don't. Just kidding. Yes, they do. Absolutely, we, they do. I am just kidding.
Whatever.
Joe has a mind of his own, and he will let you know.
Yeah, I have a spouse like that. But I think it's important to just give yourself permission to say, sometimes people want to be fierce by forcing everyone. So when we talk about fierce self-compassion, this is not the same thing as pitchforks and torches. We're going to get everyone to agree with us. Fierce means I'm going to protect what I care about in the ways I can protect it. I'm not going to protect the things I care about by forcing other people to agree with me.
Oh, I think something just what you said, Jen, of just like being caring doesn't mean that they have to do what you want them to do to be cared for. I think with what you said, like, it's just that caveat of saying like, just because I'm trying to care for someone, people still have like autonomy, right? They're allowed to decide if they want that or not. So this whole idea of like self-compassion is also this idea of allowing others to decide for themselves that they would like that support, if they won't, and recognizing too that caring does not mean I will care for you if you do A, B, and C. Just like we were just stating with all these different controversial groups, like even thinking about a parent-child relationship, it's this idea of to care for someone does not mean I care for you because you like what I do and because you will follow every rule of mine. We care about the individual despite the decisions they make at times, and we can care for them in specific ways. Like, okay, let's say an underage child, you know, someone who is a youth, right, or a actual child is doing things that the parent doesn't like. The parent goes, well, guess I'm not going to emotionally care for you because I don't like the fact you did that, right? That's not part of caring, and that's not part of self-compassion. Self-compassion is that idea too, that I'm doing a hard thing at times because I don't really want to, or it's hard, but I'm doing it because, like, you know, in the end, this means a lot, or this is a responsibility. And even as a child becomes an adult and is fully functioning and doing their own thing, that caring aspect, like how I care for them, I'm probably not going to make them dinner every night. That's probably not going to look the same. But it's just that idea of, like, you know, balancing that self-compassion of saying I'm allowed to care for someone even though they have differences than me, differences. And it's something that I can balance within myself, and that's part of that self-compassion line, right? And so we just need to be aware that those things are, you know, difficult at times, hard to wrap our head around, but are part of that self-compassion, like, thread of thought of learning how to kind of be there in that kind of way for people.
Because it's so difficult, especially in your own personal situation, it's good to have like a therapist to talk about with that. Like, while mm-hmm. I can say this is from a therapist perspective, this is what it looks like to have boundaries. That doesn't mean I don't struggle in my own life. I have a therapist who gives me feedback because I sometimes struggle with, okay, what does taking healthy action look like in these situations in my life? And it often requires that secondary eyesight to help see that, because they are really emotional experiences, especially when we're dealing with people we love or things that mean a lot to us. And so give yourself permission to have those conversations and reach out and get that support, because the work allows you to then show up better and alleviate your suffering not by changing other people, but by finding out what you need to do to protect yourself.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Please feel free to rate, subscribe, and review. And if you want to find us on social media, we're on Instagram and Facebook at Fate Resilience. We would love to hear from you.